Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, what's going on? Before we get into this week's podcast, I have to let you know this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex, huh? Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. Blue Chew, it's a unique online service. It delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive the prescription within days. Pretty awesome, man. The best part, it's all done online. So no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made right here in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. Look, man, they always say first impressions are important. What about lasting impressions? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. They say there's nothing sexier than confidence, and Blue Chew can help give you confidence where it counts. Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal just for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free when you use promo code DADCAST at checkout. Just pay $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code DADCAST, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. And speaking of, let's do it. Here we go. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's another episode of DADCAST. I am, as always, your host, JP, along with the other host, Mr. Nick Martin. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm confused by your shirt, though. There's no graphics.
It's at plain, all. Man.
I know. It's weird.
We went plain Jane today. I've got a thing about lately about getting just a bunch of plain t-shirts. Okay, I'll admit it. I haven't done the laundry in about a month and a half. And now I'm down to all the non-graphic tees that I own. So that's the explanation for that one. Today on the show, man, we've got an incredible kick-ass awesome guy. He is the co-founder and owner of Tap Out Clothing, along with being an entrepreneur and all kinds of great things. He is Mr. Dan Caldwell. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, guys? How you doing? I got the plain tee on too, so
right. Of all the guys, you know, you'd think maybe he wouldn't have the plain tee on, but you know. That's just how it is, man.
Yep.
Welcome to the show, man. Good to have you on. We appreciate you taking the time to do this. As a rite of passage, the very first question we always ask of all our guests on DADCAST is, are you a dad?
I am a dad. I'm a dad. I'm a father of five. And I have three previously, and that are older along the spectrum, and two younger ones that are 3 and 7.
Wow. Okay. And if I ask a personal question, yeah, how old are you? It pertains to the next question, if you're willing to answer.
Yeah, I'm 51.
51. Okay. So you were right there in the same, same ballpark as Nick and I. I'm older than Nick. I'll be 49 this year. And we skew older dads. And you are right there along that lines. If that's even a thing to say, it's so weird nowadays. I don't look or feel 50. You sure as heck don't. But 3 and 7 at 51 years old, you're right up there with Nick. Nick has, at last count, 837 children.
That's right.
And the most recent one is 2 months old. 3 months old now.
Hey.
Five months. She's a baby. Yeah. We'll put it at that.
Yeah, she's little. Yeah.
You know, I think it's so much more prevalent nowadays, because you have a lot of people that are, you know, smartly, I think, sometimes waiting for the right time to have kids. You know, they're getting their kind of act together, you know, getting all those things out of their system that they need to get out of their system. Hopefully being good husbands and, you know, then finding themselves having kids and at the right time. You know, they got all their ducks in a row, ready to have kids, and and hopefully it's smooth sailing from there. Not always, but.
Oh, we say that. We hope so. But no, man, it's never a smooth sail. Oh, even if, even under the perfect conditions, even if it was like the, you know, where I'm at right now and the seas were that calm, it never stays that way. Being a dad, being the kids. Look at, I mean, Nick's a perfect example. And this is not a joke, Nick. I'm not segueing into making fun of you. He was done. Okay, he was done having kids. He's his oldest kid's like 24, 25 now. And
25,
And he now has a 2-year-old and 6-month-old after starting. So that's a fun story, and Nick would like to tell it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I got remarried. She didn't have kids, and she's like, I really want kids. And I'm like, I'm fixed. Like, that ship sailed a long time ago. And so I got unfixed, and we did the whole IVF thing, and we got our son, and then now our little daughter.
Same thing. I went through the same thing. So I know exactly where you're coming from. I mean, I love it because I love kids. I always wanted to be a dad. I mean, even in high school, I'd always kind of thought out what my whole life would look like. So wanting to be a dad, and then kind of like when your kids start to get older, you know, you always miss those when they fit in your hands.
There's days though where my 3-year-old is just like at my last nerve, and I'm like, God, I can't wait till you're 10 and you can be self-sufficient and make a sandwich or whatever. Whatever it is you need, you can like voice your opinion and tell me in a way that I understand would be awesome.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're probably going to I'm going to die in this role. So they're probably going to be the death of me at some point. You know, I mean, they're great kids. I love my kids. They're amazing.
And that's Dadcast, everyone. That was Dan Caldwell. And thanks for watching. No, man, we're going to wait. He'll probably come right back. He probably hit a button or had a poor connection. But Nick, while we're waiting for him to get back on, I thought of something. You know, the whole, you're waiting for him to become self-sufficient, but it comes with different things. Like Avery, for example, my oldest, she's 10. You just said, can't wait till 10. She make her own sandwich. Yeah, she can do that. She can also make her own brownies. But now she's scared of dolls. So there's a doll in the house that I had to throw away because it's one of those creepy old timey dolls. And I think Sawyer popped one of the eyes out when she wasn't looking. And so now now there's another eye missing. So I ended up, I'm like, Avery, just go get me the doll. We'll throw it away and we're done with it. And she's like, no, I can't touch it. So she finally got the nerve up to grab the doll and I threw it away. And you know what Jen tells me to do? Bring it in tonight and put it by the foot of her bed. And I'm like, are you kidding? That's like cruel. She's already scared of the dang doll. Now you want to make her think that it came out of the trash and is hanging out and stalking her? Oh,
you should put it at the end of Sawyer's bed.
Right? Hey, buddy, welcome back.
Hey. I'm back. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
My kids unplugged my computer and it just died on cue.
Oh, well, you know, I was just telling everyone that was our show, the shortest episode in the history of Dadcast. But we got all we needed. We know Dan is an amazing guy and a great father. So anyway,
that's it.
Yeah. All right. So let me ask you this, Dan, did you notice much of a difference with this crop of children versus the first set you had as far as how you parented and you navigated that whole ordeal and everything? Was it easier? Was it harder? Was it different? All that.
Yeah. You know, it's really, being a parent is like an experiment. It's experimenting. And I'd like to say I was the best father. You know, I was always there for my kids. Try to be at every game that I could be at, try to be everywhere they needed me. But when you're building your company, I mean, this is right in the middle of building my company. So there were times where I was filming my TV show. We had two seasons of our TV show that we were driving across the country filming our TV show. And so I wasn't always there. Me and their mom never got married. So we were, you know, that was kind of not a good situation. And it was just, I would like to say I was better. And I learned a lot from that situation. And, you know, it's always a constant piece of work, working on yourself, trying to be better, trying to be a better human being. And I want to be the best. I want to be the best of my kids. I want to be the best of my business, but also I see my kids as not a business, but you know, I want to be the best with my kids.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly trying to refine how I deal with things. you know, sometimes I'm guilty of coming home, you know, from the office in a volatile situation where you're, you know, yelling and antagonized and you're bringing the heat, and all of a sudden you bring it home to your kids and it doesn't, you know, you're like, you have to check yourself real quick. And, you know, luckily my wife's an amazing woman and she'll put me in check real quick.
Right. Yes.
Like that. So it's a, you know, we're both constantly refining how we deal with our kids. We want to bring up our kids in a different way. These kids today, there's so much that's different about the world. The world's changed, but also too, how my outlook on life, like our kids are homeschooled, you know, for a lot of reasons. There's multiple reasons, but one of the reasons, like somebody was asking me yesterday that, you know, hey, do you have to bring your kids to all your meetings? And, you know, we choose to bring all of our kids to all of our meetings now. So our young kids are getting exposed to this business. And my other kids did too, because they lived in the office. They literally, you know, they were there every day.
Yeah.
And because they're, you know, it was just part of life. And then we opened up a little coffee shop for them, and they, you know, were working that as they got older. But these kids, I wanted to, you know, I don't have an office like that anymore. I don't have this big, huge warehouse where we're selling clothes and stuff. So we do different type of businesses. So I want them exposed to it by being inside of our meetings. And so I bring them to all my meetings. I bring them to, you know, big negotiations, and they're sit there. I want them to hear how I do those things, because if they don't learn it from me, who are they going to learn it from? School's not going to teach it. Not that they go to school, but the school's not going to teach them how to do that. Nobody else is going to teach them how to do that. So they learn a lot about outside history and all that stuff. But when, you know, they're not going to use that when they're building a business or whatever they're doing. This is how they used to do it back in the 1800s. You know, the 1800s, when if you had a mercantile, your kids worked in there. Mm-hmm. They were doing their work, their schoolwork in there. My wife grew up like that too, because her mom was a single mom who owned a jewelry store and was trying to raise these, you know, three kids. And that's just, that was history. And today we kind of lost sight of that, I think. And so our kids are kind of, we shove them off to school and leave the teachers to go teach them. And I just, and if you can see what's going on in the school system right now, that's probably not the best plan.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. However, in my neck of the woods here in Southern Oregon, go Jacksonville Elementary, it feels to me, at least from what I've seen and glimpsed, it felt like it was when I was a kid in elementary school. Classes are still pretty small. Teachers are still doing their thing. And although they are trying to teach that crazy core math, which I'm just, what do you do? That's not math. That's not math. But, you know, for the most part, it seems pretty accurate. So we're lucky when it comes to that. But you're not kidding, man. And, you know, kids learning everything on TikTok these days. No bueno.
Yeah.
No freaking bueno. Yeah. Now, you mentioned you're taking the kids to the office with you. What is taking up Dan Caldwell's time these days, business-wise?
Well, I'm consulting for companies, and we're, you know, we have so much different types of businesses going on, but our main, the business that we're just starting back up is our podcast, so we're doing our podcast too.
Okay. Now's the time. Promote. Name of the podcast.
Yeah, it's called the Pretty and Punk Podcast, and basically, you know, we started it like 3 years ago. And it's about business parents who are raising kids, you know, within that space, how entrepreneurs raise their kids. I want to know how guys like Grant Cardone raises his kids, you know, the Brad Lee raises his kids. I want to know how these different entrepreneurs are treating their kids and exposing them to their business environment or lack of, you know, how they don't want to do that. How do we, as entrepreneurs who are different, we're a different breed, you know, it's like we may not have the same hours that everybody else has. We may not have a 9-to-5 job. We may work from home like we do. Most of the time we're working from home. So other than traveling to meet people and stuff, like we just went to go meet with Mark Wahlberg, and we're doing something with him right now. And we took our kids to that meeting, you know? So, and I told Mark, you know, I hope you don't mind, but I bring my kids to all my meetings because I want to expose them to this stuff. I know she's 3 and he's 6 and, you know, I don't know whether he'll get that or not, but he did. I mean, right away, he said, yeah, I love that. Like, I love to introduce my family to everything I'm doing. And
that was definitely one of the coolest things I've seen on your Instagram with your kids interacting with his kids and making business deals. And
yeah, I mean, that's how we want it. That's how we choose to live our life, because we can. Not everybody, you know, has that same situation, but I still think no matter what, you can come home. Even if you don't have that situation, I can come home, and when I'm not, you know, there's other times when I've worked inside other people's offices. So I've had to go into the office every day to work with them, you know, on their company. And when I come home, I tell my kids exactly what we were doing. You know, it's like, oh, today I did this. You know, we just, you know, remember Chuck, we got Chuck Liddell. I was talking to Chuck Liddell yesterday, and he's we're doing a hat deal with him. Look at this hat. What do you think of this hat? See, I designed all this, and I like how this came in. And we did this blue, the same blue as Chuck Liddell, you know, like his shorts that he used to wear. And I pull up the picture of the shorts he used to wear. I want them to understand every piece of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And hopefully that gives them a heads up on, you know, what they're going to encounter down the road. I want them to be creative. And I see it in my son already. I see him, one, not that talking like a kid isn't a good thing, but they do speak in a way that feels like it's more grown up. You know, they're expressing their ideas in a different way. They're having conversations with adults in a different way. And they have full-on conversations. You know, I'll put my kid spoke in front of 3,000 people over here, did a full-blown, you know, six-minute speech in front of 3,000 people out here in Utah. You know, it's like I want to put him in those situations so that he has the tools that it takes, because the hardest thing to do is deal with people. You know, conversations are everything. Conversations are how you build businesses. You're not going to build a business huddled up in your computer. I mean, you can kind of today, you know, some people can, but at the end of the day, there's a plateau there. If you want to get to that point where you're building a, you know, $100 million business, you're not going to do that unless you're standing in front of somebody. You're going to have conversations with people along the way. You're going to have networking. You're going to have negotiations with people. And if your kids don't know how to do that, or they're learning, or, you know, that takes that first 10 years, 20. It was hard. You know, I was 20 and 20, even in the tap out days, I was very, I don't want to say shy, but I was definitely an introvert, and I played it to the hilt. You know, I didn't want to be around people. I didn't want to talk to people. And when we did, you know, I probably didn't do it the best. I could have been so much better at 34. You know, I could have had better conversations. I could have been more aware of the back and forth playground that we're having in this networking or in this negotiation. So I want my kids to see that. So at 20, they're doing those deals. I want my kid to do $1 million deal at 20 years old, you know, because he enjoys it, because he's having fun with it, and he's excited by it.
And I think said when the kids get up on stage or when they talk directly, it's simplified and to the point. that's what the kids know. It's much simpler. They haven't experienced everything. And, you know, they say what's on their mind, just boom.
And they're not scared.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he's not scared. He got off the stage and he goes, oh, that was so much. He goes, that was so fun. And you go, are you scared? He goes, no, that I want to do it again. He enjoyed it because the whole crowd, he got a standing ovation. You know, the whole crowd. I mean, he in the middle of his speech, he recites Theodore Roosevelt's Man in the Arena speech. So he knows that whole speech too by heart. And so he, you know, he's doing his speech, and then he does this Man in the Arena speech, and his speech is called The Power of Words. And you know, the whole crowd could not believe how he knew this whole speech by Theodore Roosevelt that Theodore Roosevelt gave back in 1912 or whenever it was. I believe it's 1912. You know, he enjoys interacting with the crowd like that. And that's what I want for him, because I would have been scared to death at that age. You'd have had to push me out on stage, right? You know? And at the end, once I got out there, I probably would have went blank and forgot everything.
Well, you're doing something right, man. So well done. Yeah. I mean, and
my wife too. My wife is the one who's really the cheerleader for some of that. I mean, she's the one working with him at night. She's relentless on him about making sure she's Hungarian. And I would call myself, as hard as I can be sometimes, I would call myself soft when it comes to the personality. So she's much more stronger personality than I am. And yeah, she's great.
It's got to be pretty proud too, though, seeing your boy on stage doing something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Amazing. Mm. Unbelievable.
I just got immensely proud for you and your son listening to that story. So I can only imagine how you feel. Amazing. Yeah, Nick, sure. I keep seeing you over there like you're ready to say and ask something. So,
oh, no, I'm sorry, man. I'm just rubbing the neck.
It's not the Father's Day episode. We just did a Father's Day episode, yeah, Dan, where there's a whole bunch of guys on the screen. And after doing it for a few years, I finally said, hey, man, we got to get elementary on this. I apologize. But if you want to speak, raise your hand because the Zoom communication Zoom and the delay was nuts. So I think I'm still feeling a little bit of that when I saw Nick put his hand up.
We got three people on, or four people on, three people on. So whenever you have that many people on, it makes it a little bit harder game to play.
How do you produce and go about doing your podcast? Do you have an actual studio? Do you Zoom it most of the time? Is it a combination? I love getting into the talk of this.
Yeah, so it's kind of the mess that we live in. We started out in Malibu a couple of years ago, a few years ago. That's when we started the podcast. And we were kind of stable then, but then we decided to do some traveling. So we were bringing it with us and we were doing it out of hotels, and sometimes we wouldn't do it and it got a little inconsistent. And so, you know, shame on us. We let off the gas for a second. We said, oh, okay, let's stop doing it for a minute. So we stopped for a year, and now we're putting a bunch in the queue again. We got like 6 podcasts done, and we're waiting to relaunch again. So we're about to relaunch right now. And lately what we've been doing, because we've been staying here in Utah, cause we have a place in LA, we have a place in Vancouver, and, but we don't have any setup there. So we're doing a setup here. And then we also have a studio that we sometimes film out of too. So we've been kind of trying to feel that out. We don't really like this, you know, working out of a studio, cause it's, I don't know. It just feels like sometimes I like all the control of controlling everything, you know, being able to do, you know, set it up, turn it on when I want to, jump in front of the camera when we feel like it.
Right.
And other times I like getting out of our house and going to a studio where I feel like the environment's a little better. Plus we got a 3-camera setup there, you know, which is obviously different than doing, you know, just talking heads. We do here. So here we do when we're here. What we've been doing is just doing a wide shot and then punching in when people start speaking. That's pretty good for us.
Yeah, that's
so I'm gonna ask some like distribution questions. Do you guys have like a distribution channel that you could go through? For like the last 2 years, we've struggled getting a distributor. Basically, we finally signed up with Believe.com, and we're through their network right now.
Right.
So we're trying to figure out, like, how do these podcasts get paid? Like, how do you, like, Amazon, how to, like, is there, like, an agent that works with podcast hosts? Is that, like, a thing?
Well, a lot of, like, Dear Media, you know, we haven't tried to do that yet. And we were kind of talking about doing that once we kind of get going consistently. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, guys like Dear Media and some of those other podcast hosting companies, what they do is they do some rev split for, you know, they go out, they have salespeople that go out there, and that's all they do is they're just trying to drum up revenue for you know, advertisers. And they just show them, hey, this is all, you know, this is our menu of all the different podcasts we have. And then, you know, that's a way of doing it. But you're giving away most of your show, you know, at that point. Mm-hmm. I don't know the specifics of the contract, but I'm sure you're giving away a lot to make that happen, because basically all you have to do is put together a podcast every day, you know, every week or every day, however mm-hmm. you're doing it. So for you, it's easy. You know, you just show up. For them, they're doing all the mixing, the advertising, the pushing the podcast out. They're getting all the sales done. So all that stuff falls on them. So I'm sure they're taking a pretty good chunk of the show for that.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Interesting. Yeah, we've just been trying to figure out, like, you know, we see these other podcasts that get, you know, $20 million from Amazon or whatever. And of course they're famous actors. We're definitely,
that's
not
why,
that. But yeah, you know,
there's a lot of people that are nobodies that are doing the same thing. You know what I mean? So it's really, you know, it's kind of like,
I guess, how do you get found by Amazon? You know, like, we're ranked in the top 1% of all podcasts right now.
I think you got to call them. You got to straight call them. You say, okay, look, a podcast, take a look at it. You know, you got to go sell yourself on that. I'd find all the, you know, I know Jesse Itzler has one, but, you know, he's got kind of a type of podcast that he likes, which is going to be different from like a Dear Media, which is, you know, you got to kind of find where you fit in.
Right.
You know, all these different, there's tons of different people that have set that situation up. Mm-hmm. And you just got to kind of find, you know, under what banner you feel like you fit in.
Nick,
kind of didn't feel like we fit in anywhere either. So that's why we kind of just stayed agnostic for a second before we dived in with somebody. We want to see if somebody kind of popped up and made more sense.
Nick, get Bezos's number. Just give him a call. Man, we got something for you.
Exactly.
Nice. All right. Well, so I've covered the kids, the changing in the two generations, et cetera, et cetera. We've talked a little bit about what Dan Caldwell does on a day-to-day these days. Shifting gears a tad bit, has there, as a father for you, I keep saying new batch, that sounds terrible, but for your youngest children, the
like Gremlins.
There's new batch. Well, taking a batch of kids, Nick, you're one to talk. Difficulties in parenthood for you. What are they? How they rear their ugly head, and how do you approach fixing any of those issues if there are any?
You know, I think the biggest issue that always seems to be why I feel like this model that we're doing works for us so well is work-life balance is always, you know, it's never going to be, never
an
ideal balance. So you're trying to find, well, what's the best I can do? And for somebody who works at home, it's really hard when you have to find, you know, what is the right thing? And there's no playbook for this. You know, it's like you can read a bunch of books and somebody will tell you one thing and somebody else will tell you a different thing. We were looking at a book yesterday that basically said, you know, don't go to any of your kids' practices and don't go to your kids, you know, you don't need to go to every game. And then another book will say, well, you know, if you're not going to every game or in every practice, then you don't love them. You know, it's like it's like all these experts, none of them agree and they don't all agree. Right. And yet there's points they don't disagree on. So, you know, you got to find what works for you. And for us, that's why introducing them to what we're doing is a moment where we can connect for a second. And then sometimes, you know, like even they stayed up real late last night, we started playing Monopoly and, you know, we have rules about when to go to bed and stuff, but you know, the great thing is that you don't have to stick by all those rules. It's your game. You know?
It's summertime anyway now, man.
I mean, everybody says, you got to get up at 3 to be successful. Well, what if I don't feel like getting up at 3? I get up at 7. You know, it's like, that's the time I feel like getting up. So I get up what time I want to get up. And I know I hear all these guys who tell me they're getting up at 2 in the morning. If I get up earlier, I'm better, you know. So they do their thing. That's their thing, you know. Let them do – I'm glad that people have their thing to do. I really think it's what drives them. You know, they need to feel like they're getting up before everybody to be the person that they want to be. I feel like myself, I'm less concerned about that. I'm more concerned about getting up praying with my kids and having them do their affirmations. And I don't want to get my kids up at 3. And so I get up, usually I get up with my kids, or if I get up first, I'd come in, you know, make a cup of coffee and then, you know, wake them up and we'll do, you know, either my wife does it or I do it. We'll pray with our kids, or we'll both pray with our kids and do their affirmations and their what they're grateful for. And that's what I enjoy. And that's what makes me feel like we're being successful. So everybody's got their own thing. And I, you know, let everybody do you, whatever makes you feel good at the end of the day. But that balance is always, I never quite feel like, oh man, we're hitting grand slams every day.
Yeah.
You know, I don't ever feel like that. I feel like my kid will come up and I'm in the middle of something and, you know, dad, come look at this. And I'm like, oh man.
How do you navigate that exact scenario?
Yeah. Well, you know, I would say I'm not right 100% of the time. That's for sure. Sometimes I am in the middle of something and I'm like, hey buddy, you know, give me 20 minutes. I got to finish this. And then I will come back to you. I got to have this back to this guy by 2 o'clock. And I just got to finish this right now. And then we'll go do that, you know. But then I try to give him 100%. But I can't count how many times my wife's told me, Dan, you've been on your phone for like an hour and a half now. You know, you need to get off your phone for a second and pay attention. And so, you know, that's what we do. We check ourselves. And you're always right in the ship. You know, a ship never drives directly to its destination. It's always getting off course and getting back on and getting off course and getting back on. And that's what we are. We're this big ship with this family, and we're trying to go down the right way. We're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to go straight to our destination, but we're going to get off course here and there. And we just have to constantly steer back on and, you know, do what's best for us.
Exactly. Speaking of people who've been on their phone for an hour and a half, Nick.
Sorry. My bad.
Killing me, Smalls.
All right, man.
Did you put together a fast five?
I did.
Okay. All right. So, little background. A little history here, Dan. I have worked in radio in like real FM radio for the last 20 years, give or take. And there's a segment we did called the Fast.
Amazing voice. Yeah,
thank you. We had the face for radio, baby. we did the whole Fast Five where I had guests come on and we asked them five fast questions. We've kind of incorporated that here into the podcast. And I let Nick take over. And it is time for the Fast Five. And I'm excited, Nick. You said new questions.
Yeah, here's a couple new questions.
120 episodes in, and we're finally getting new questions from Nick. Love it.
I'm going to go back to the other questions.
Okay, there'll still be some originals in. All right, go. So
what's the most inspiring thing about being a dad for you?
Oh, shoot. Watch. I mean, they inspire me. Every single time I see them do things that I wish I would be doing at their age, I wish I would have done at their age, that, I mean, I can't even explain the inspiration that I get from that. And I'm just so excited to see where that's going to take them.
What is the scariest dad fail that you've had?
Dad
fail.
Fail.
Fail? Oh, my God.
The scariest one.
You know, you know, that's, you call this fast, but I, you know, I can't think of anything offhand that fail. I mean, other than I don't want to fail my kids, I want them to, you know, if there's anything that I can't even think of anything offhand that, you know, I'm constantly trying to be the best person I can be. And I think, you know, anytime me and their mom are not, or having, you know, like not seeing eye to eye on something. Oh, about 3 months ago, it's probably longer than that now, almost a year ago. Me and their mom got into it a little bit, and raised our voices. And my son came up to me and said, "Dad, stop yelling at mom." And like, I wasn't yelling, you know, but to them, they're not used to that at all. So when our voices got a little raised, and I don't realize, you know, I'm talking like I'm in the office, and I'm like telling her, "No, this and this and this, and I'm right, and you're wrong, and I'm right, and you're wrong." And my son, you know, I don't ever want my son to look at me like that.
Yeah.
I don't ever want my son to look at me like I'm being mean to his mom, because I love his mom. And I would always tell him that. And shoot, I get a little emotional just saying it. But I don't ever want my son to look at me like I'm not everything that that he looks up to. I want him to look up to me every time. And when he sees something like that, I hope that he never carries that with him, and that, you know, 10 years from now or 20 years from now or 30 years from now, he doesn't come to me and goes, "Yeah, I remember that time when you did, man, that will hurt." Will hurt a lot.
Yeah. There's something to be said, you know, when you're disappointed in your children, if they do something, I don't think that carries any weight compared to the flip of your children being disappointed in you for something. And and they don't grasp that yet. You know, we do, we understand wholeheartedly. And, whew, yeah, I get it. Sorry, Nick. Number three.
All right. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Well, I mean, I think I think my quick answer would just be that I'd want our podcast on there. But you'd have to give me like 20 minutes to figure out a good phrase. I want people to see that people that – I'm whatever the words are, and I don't have the exact words because I'm not, I'm not quick like that with, I'll just throw some words out there. I'm very precise. I want to think about those words I throw up there. But the what I'd like to convey on this billboard is us and our family doing our podcast, that you can run a business and keep your family together at the same time and make your, you know, bring your family together with your business. It doesn't have to be, I'm going to be successful here. The problem is you see all these people become successful. You see your Bezoses of the world, then get a divorce. You see your Bill Gates of the world, and then they get a divorce. You see these guys that are, you know, create all the success, including, you know, myself, you know, you create this success and then your relationships fail because you gave 1,000% of yourself over here and you didn't account for what's going on over here. And I think, you know, maybe it's wisdom as you get older, whatever it is that, you know, makes you start to be accountable for your all your actions across the board, makes you go, man, how do I do it and make it all work? How do I make it all work together? My wife could explain this so much better than me, but we're both trying to navigate our lives so that everything works. So you put that into words, but I'll put that on a billboard, what I just said.
That is the biggest billboard in the history of billboards right there.
So the reason we asked this, when we first, like the day after we started the podcast, I went and bought a billboard on the busiest highway in Medford that just said the number one parenting podcast with our pictures on it.
We didn't even finish two episodes in and he's out there running his mouth, telling the world that we're the number one parenting podcast in the world.
I jumped the gun a little bit.
And I was like, you know,
it worked out for us.
We're by no means bad parents, but we're by no means the number one parents. That's even today. I'm not going to stake claim to that one.
Podcast.
Yeah, yeah. So nice. But so, what's funny?
I think those words are great words. That's perfect.
That yeah, it was hilarious. Our mugs were on there, but then here we are. Fast forward, you know, about a year later. After that, it turns out we could actually say, yeah, we're right up in there with one of the top ones. That's pretty cool. But at the time, man, I was just like, Nick, what are you doing, man? Number four, Nick.
What's your favorite food to cook for your kids?
Eggs and egg burritos.
Oh, I mean, let's go.
That's awesome. My kids always say, oh, Dad, make those egg burritos. We use these gluten-free tortillas and butter them up real nice, get the scrambled egg, make them a special way. I got my own secret recipe for this scrambled egg, get them in there with some spinach and a couple other things, throw it together, and they love those burritos. They'll ask for two or three of them.
Boom.
Nice. Very cool. What's your proudest dad moment other than the one you already talked about?
My proudest dad moment, probably. I mean, there are so many. I could say all my kids have done amazing. You know, my daughter played for the University of Hawaii. I was so proud of her. And my other son being, you know, he was a freshman on the varsity team. And my other son, just so smart. When he got into college, and then, you know, just all my kids have been blown me away on some of the things that they've been a part of and done, and they make me very proud all the time. But I think my son being up on stage in front of all those people, no doubt, like that's the proudest papa moment for sure. I was standing back there more excited than he was, you know, filming everything, got the camera out, trying not to be shaky. I'm holding my daughter at the same time, and, you know, just such a moment I'll never forget. And I hope he'll never forget. I have this video of him, you know, he might've been six. I was thinking he might've been five or six. He's right there. And just seeing him up there, this little tiny dude, and in the most beautiful theater you've ever seen. And where it's like, it looks like something, you know, like those old theaters with the mezzanine, mm-hmm. and then like these private little booths that are off to the side, everything's in gold and just this beautiful, beautiful theater. And all these people out there, I can see this lady up in the top is crying. She's literally wiping tears off of her face as he's speaking. And everybody's got the biggest smile on their face. And as soon as he finishes, they all rise at the same time, giving him this huge standing ovation. And I have it on video. And, you know, just to have that on video, that moment that we can capture and always be able to show it to him again down the road, he can always use that for whatever he wants to use it for. Just the proudest papa moment ever.
You got to take like a 10-second clip of that, your favorite part, if you even can, and throw it in a video frame and put that up on the wall somewhere. So every time it passes, it triggers. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That would be amazing.
We have a great shot of him before anybody's in there, and he's holding his hand up like this.
Yeah.
And it's shot from behind him. So you don't see his face, but shot from behind him. And he's standing in front of this. It's all lit up, and it's just the best picture ever. It's pretty incredible shot.
Good stuff. How old is your oldest kid?
She is 23.
23. All right. So take me back about 24 years ago, if we can go that far. Someone came to you and said, hey, guess what? You're going to be a dad. And you found out the news for the very first time. Can you recall the emotions of that day?
Oh, yeah. It was a long time ago. But, you know, I just always wanted to be a dad. I was a little worried because I didn't feel like me and their mom was a good match. And I didn't think that was going to work out. And, you know, that's all my fault. And I'll take responsibility for that. But I wanted her to have a great life. And so it changed my life forever. I just knew everything was going to be different at that point. And I became a different person. You know, I was a police officer at the time. So, because I was a police officer before I started Tap Out. And everything about me just changed as a human being. All those memories of how my parents raised me, and my parents are amazing. We didn't grow up in the best neighborhoods, but they taught me so much. And they were just amazing, had a great effect on my life. And going to church and all those things that I wanted for my kids, you know, just exposure to God and just bringing out the best in them, and all that I wanted for her right at one moment.
Yeah,
you know, all the feelings are running through you. And I think holding her, like, oh my gosh, I remember holding her and just thinking she was so small. And although she wasn't as small as these two were, but she was so, I'd never held a baby before, really. I thought about that. I'd never held a baby before. So it was kind of scary, you know, just all these things kind of going into this relationship with her as a little tiny baby, and always just knowing that, wanting her to be better than I ever was. And so again, I tried to expose, I think I was learning, you know, when you're young, you don't know all the things you don't know.
Yep.
And you're trying to teach them all this stuff and you want the best for them, but you don't know quite how to give them the best or get the best for them. And I always wanted the best for her. And sometimes you think that's buying the best for them, but that's not the same thing as having the best relationship with them. And I'm still guilty. I'm still not where I want to be. I'm still not the best parent that I want to be. I'm always striving to get better, but I'm doing my best. And I think everybody, that's all they can do.
As long as that's what you are doing, then you're doing it right. My lady just popped her head here in the garage. Hi, Mama. What you doing? You want to? No. And then she's backing it. Back away slowly is what she just did. I've got one final question for you, Mr. Dan Caldwell, before we call this thing. Nick, unless you got something more?
I'm good.
All right.
Let's go.
I like to consider this one of the most important questions I ask on this show. I ask it of every single guest, so no pressure. What is one bit of advice that you can impart on a brand new dad or soon to be new father?
Wow.
I love that reaction, by the way.
Yeah.
That means it's a good question.
Well, the crashing feeling is that you want to tell you, hold on, buddy. I got so much to tell you. Let's sit down. We need to have a nice long conversation. There's so much to tell you, but I think, a lot of, and this may sound, you know, there's probably people out there have a lot better advice than I do, but I feel like what's changed me as a person, what's the difference between who I was before trying to be this dad and this father figure, I'm going to tell you what to do and you're going to do what I tell you to do. And, you know, I'm trying to be the dad, but I don't quite, you know, there's no perfect handbook on how to be this person. So I think being transparent with my kid, be transparent with your kids on why you're doing everything that you're doing so that they understand why you want the best for them. I don't tell my kids, do what I tell you to do because I told you to do it. I sit down and explain to my kids, this is why I want you to do this because I want the best for you. And I know if I let you do this, you're not going to be the best person that you can be. You know, if I let you stay up till 12 o'clock, we have to get up at 7. You're going to be dead tired. And, you know, you're not going to get the sleep that you need because we're going to have to, we have to leave at 7. You got to get up at 5, you know, so you can get ready and so we can be out of the house at time. Now, if you choose, you know, I want to sometimes give them some leeway. If they choose to do something, let them be that their own person too. You know, I'm going to tell you that you can stay up. Sometimes I let my kids do this, but I'm very transparent with them about why I'm doing what I'm doing. And it, I can't think of something that's made me better than that. Like that has changed my life and my relationship with my kids. Because all that other stuff is easy. Like, I mean, I would say prayer with your kids is amazing. Affirmations with your kids will change their lives. I could tell you that, you know, including them in your business relationship, those are all the runner up things. But I think explaining and being super transparent with my kids about everything that I do, whether that be business or decisions for them or my decisions for myself or what, you know, even situations with me and their mom or situations where, and we have a, you know, we have an amazing relationship, but I think that, you know, there's still times when I want to explain to my kids, oh, this is why we're doing this, or this is why daddy has to go. I just being as transparent with your kids as possible and explain to them, treating them like adults in some ways, so that they understand exactly what you're going through, exactly what they're going through. So they understand and they can, it gives them the power to make their own decisions. That's it.
There you go. In a nutshell, be transparent.
But all that other stuff's easy. Well, yeah. I mean, there's a long answer to that, though, because
that was the short answer.
Yeah,
I'm kidding, man. No, that was a long answer.
But if I just say be transparent with your kids, I don't think most people will get it.
Yeah, no, I get you, man. Good answer. No, that is
parents. It's changed a little bit.
You get to meet her. Come here, baby girl. Mr. Dan Caldwell, meet the joy and love of my life, my 10-year-old, Avery Allison.
Hi, beautiful.
That's Dan. He said, hi, beautiful. Can you hear him?
She probably can't because you got your
headphones. Yeah, I got my cans on. Yeah. But look at her. She's hamming it up because there's a camera on us.
Yeah. All kids like to be on camera, so.
Okay. All right, go, baby. I got to finish this up. I love you. I wanted to add one more question because you have something you mentioned a little bit earlier, and this is just for total fun. You are a former cop, so what is Dan Caldwell's favorite cop movie of all time?
Oh, Cops.
Yeah, okay. That's a TV show, though. We're talking movie.
Colors.
Oh, man, Ice-T.
Yeah.
Dude, Sean Penn, Duvall. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good answer.
Yeah, Colors changed my life, man. That's the one that did it for me. When I saw that, I said, there's nothing that's – I have to be a police officer.
Like, wow.
That's the coolest job on the planet.
Yeah, and there's that, of course, great analogy, run down the hill and the bolt. Yeah. You know, we didn't go there, but that, yeah. Good answer, man. And what a heck of a way to end this thing. He is Mr. Dan Caldwell, co-founder, CEO, Tap Out, does all the things, entrepreneur. Obviously, you've been watching this show. You know he's an incredible father. Guys, man, if you're not doing it like that, I'm not saying you're doing it wrong, but it would not be a horrible idea to maybe take a little bit of the things you heard from Mr. Caldwell today and put them in your own life. I know I will. You're doing it right, man, and we appreciate you and your job and your role as a father. Last chance, promote that podcast, man.
Yeah. Check us out on the Pretty and Punk podcast. It's the business parent podcast, and I think that my wife has 10 times better version of this than I am. So she explains it so much better when we both get on together.
Where's the wife? Is she around?
Yeah, she's back. She's downstairs playing with the kids.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say, if you want to throw her on to promote it real quick, we got no problem with that.
Yeah. It's okay. Tell them to come listen and come check us out. They'll love the show.
Pretty in Punk.
Yep. Pretty in Punk.
Pretty in Punk podcast. It's a lot of P's. It's a lot of P's right there.
Yep. Pretty in Punk business parent podcast.
It's a mouthful. Love it. I can't wait to check it out. I will do so as soon as we're done. Again, Dan, thank you so much, man. You've had a great time. And since Nick didn't take the opportunity earlier, I will. We'd love to have Mark Wahlberg on. So if you want to go ahead and shoot him a number, a wink, wink, a nudge, nudge for us. That's how we get guests, by referral. We wouldn't mind it one bit.
Okay.
And to everyone watching worldwide, however you may be watching or listening, thank you so very much for your support. We appreciate you. Do all the things, like, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. We'll catch you on the very next episode. Once again, he is Dan Caldwell. See, that's what happens to my radio voice. I talk too much and all of a sudden they just go. He is Dan Caldwell. And we appreciate you, man. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you, guys.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.